Okay. So today is day number 10 of our coronavirus miracles healing circles. And it feels like such a huge accomplishment, I think, just for us to be meeting this way, just to keep this energy going and supporting one another. And I want to welcome Sharon. I see she's here. And I just want to thank you all yesterday for holding that space for me so that I could share and express what was on my heart. It was really, really so helpful. So I'm just in gratitude to each one of you for that safe space that I could partake of and receive for myself. So I really appreciate that. I feel like I want to continue with what we were reading yesterday because of actually what Joe had talked about, releasing that self-image into that space of love. But before I go on to that, what I was receiving yesterday and this morning, actually, I think it was yesterday, I was walking and I heard, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. And I hadn't, I'm obviously that's from the Bible, right? But that's not something, I grew up hearing it, but it wasn't like something I think about a lot in that way. And it was so beautiful. Blessed are the peacemakers. And then I went to look for it, and it was something like, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be the sons of God, or something to that effect. And obviously the son and God, and some of us are not comfortable, but it was this idea of blessed, for me, it was this, blessed are the peacemakers, for they claim their true inheritance of who they are, And then when we say peacemakers, right, like what does that mean? Like, am I making peace? Like, am I, like we talk about the ego mind fabricates and it makes illusions, whereas spirit creates, what is truly true. So making peace, and I heard it was, no, it was making peace with what is, like to be at peace with what is. And sometimes when we say that, making peace with what is, in our Western cultures, and even to some degrees in many Eastern cultures, as they're adopting that Western, productivity and all of that, there can be a sense like, oh, making peace is like, what is that? Like you're giving up, like you're resigning, like you're, I know when I told some of my friends, especially in the medical profession, about what I was doing, coaching for inner peace, and they were like, you got to change that name. We don't like that name, coaching for inner peace. And I said, really? They said, yeah, like inner peace. Like that means you're just gonna sit like a Buddha and not do anything. And there's so many problems and there's so many things to heal in the world. And it should be like relaxation or stress management or something like that. And of course, they were reflecting to me my own doubt thoughts, right? So I would look at that and I would sit with that. And I remember when I was signing up for the domain name and it was available and it was given to me, Coaching for Inner Peace. Like I didn't sit here analyzing what that should be. And I spoke to the person at GoDaddy, and it was so beautiful how spirit like speaks through people to you. And this young man was like, what a wonderful name. This is such a great name. I know exactly what this means. This is so perfect. And so it was the confirmation coming through that, yes, this is it. This is it. And so, blessed are the peacemakers. And then this idea of the meek shall inherit the earth. And I feel like we're all here as peacemakers. This is what we are collectively, individually being called to do. But how can we make peace when we don't feel at peace? Right? So it again, it's an inner job. It's an inner job. So we make peace when we can be at peace. When we are at peace, we can make peace. Like it all goes together. And while relaxation and stress management, certainly those are steps along, you know, in that journey. We talked about that. If we're all tense, we can't listen to the guidance, you know? So certainly, and that's why meditations and whatever helps us to relax and, you know, bring the fear level down, whatever it is all helpful. But we're realizing that peace is the quality of something that always is within us. It's always there. And we make peace with what is so we can be in the present moment, so we can tune in to the peace that was always there. So I remember when I learned to meditate, one of my first teachers, it wasn't even formal instruction that he gave. I mean, there was, you know, some stuff about breathing and all that, but it wasn't very complicated. He would just go into that space and you would just drop into it, you know, like someone turned on a channel and maybe there were some other channels on in the background, but you just tuned in to that channel and that's what you felt. You felt that peace because he was inviting us into a space of he knew what was already within us. And it was just the invitation. There was no force. You didn't have to do it. It wasn't anything like that. It was just an invitation, but it was so potent because it was so gentle in reminding us of something that's so ancient that we've forgotten. So when Joe was talking about the onion and peeling into that nothingness, and we're going to go to that space in the course. I'll see if we can get to that, you know, section in that reading we did yesterday. We fear the nothingness. And I think my friends, like, they were afraid of the peace because it almost was something foreign. Like, how can, like, if I'm at peace, somehow I'm going to lose my motivation, you know? And I'll be doing less. Well, welcome coronavirus, right? Here we are, all of us, you know, do less. I read something somewhere on Facebook and I'll see if I can get it for us the next time. And it was like, don't make this the time where you have to feel like you have to write another bestseller book or you got to come up with a new program or you've got to do this or you got to do that, right? Because there can be that, you know, illusion within an illusion or a defense against what the real message is because the ego is so crafty. It's like, okay, all right, if you're going to do this lockdown, then all right, how can I come in even here? How can I, you know, use this for my purposes? And I was even reflecting to one of our friends here. We were speaking and I said, yeah, I wish that even the schools, I was wondering what would happen if they used this time to take this once in a lifetime, once in a history, you know, this really monumentous time that we're living in and brought it to the children and said, what would you do here? Like, how can we look at economics a new way? How can we look at history? How can this be history? And what are the solutions? And I wonder, like, what would that be to have an education that was, you know, not about like making sure we meet the status quo, but that we're innovative and we look at this differently. So blessed are the peacemakers. And then what came to me was the image of the chrysalis and the butterfly, the caterpillar into the chrysalis, into the butterfly. And I read this article written by this, I think it's a husband and wife team who are both in the healing complementary profession. And it was really beautiful because it was something about the title caught my eye because it was like, what if the virus is actually our medicine? What if the virus is our medicine? So again, that's the upside down, right, Joe? It's like turning it the other way around. So here we are frantically trying to find the medicine for the virus, right? We want to find the medicine. And that's all fine. We're not, you know, debating any of that, all the wonderful work that everyone around the world is doing. But here we are doing this inner work. And what if the virus is the medicine to all of those ills of the ego mind that we cannot run away from anymore? All of those beliefs that somewhere have been hidden and hidden and hidden. And we could sort of like go off and do our own thing or go get that or go do that. Now everything is like, you know, an alternate reality. You know, you just can't go for a massage. You just can't go out and go do shopping. You can't even go out and eat. You just can't, right? All the places. So it's like forcing us that lockdown. But like if we can use it as like, this is the chrysalis. This is the chrysalis. So how can I slow down? Which is every one of us talked about how we, you know, many of us would say that we need to slow down. This is too fast. I wish, like, and I would feel like this train is going so fast. And when can I get off? When can I get off? You know, I don't even know if I want to go in the direction it's going. And I don't know how to get off because I'm on it somehow. So we all get into those places, you know, of doing and doing and doing. And so the chrysalis, like I was really thinking about that. Blessed are the peacemakers, the meek shall inherit the earth. This idea of the chrysalis, if that caterpillar comes out too soon, right? Think about that, right? It misses the opportunity of that beautiful butterfly, which is like, where did that come from? If you look at a caterpillar and you look at a butterfly, you just can't put it together. Like, how did that happen? The transformation for that to happen is like a miracle. So perhaps in this time of this lockdown, you know, making peace with it. Blessed are the peacemakers. We make peace with what is. We make peace with whatever is in front of us. We make peace with whatever is coming on within us, knowing that within that there is peace to be found. If we just, you know, sink into it and we're waiting. And the chrysalis has such a quality of like cocoon, hibernation, you know, just being in this, And the chrysalis can be dark, right? It's a dark, it can feel like a dark place. And yet it has that, like, you know, they say the oak, the seeds of the oak tree has the whole oak tree within that beautiful little seed. The whole tree is in there. So we don't know what we each are to understand and heal from and gain. Like, we don't know, but the peace knows. And if we can make peace and let that, like there's a place in the course where it says the peace of God, and I'm paraphrasing, the peace of God is my only goal. The only goal that I really want to give my focus to while I am on this earth, the only goal. And so it is so beautiful because it keeps going back to purpose. It keeps going back to what purpose will this serve? And then forgiveness, we talked about that. Forgiving, letting go, making peace. Because that peace is like our treasure and so valuable to us. And if we need to join with another, if we need to expose what's on our heart, if we need to journal, if we need to take a walk, if we need to scream and rant a little bit, whatever it is, if we need to move the body, like whatever our ways are, if we need to do drumming, you know, singing, chanting, really whatever our ways are. But the purpose for this beautiful space of blessed are the peacemakers. So I just wanted to share that because it felt like it was something that would be helpful for us to see our roles, like what is our function? What is my function? So I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna go back to chapter 13. And I'm reading from section 3. It's so this is A Course in Miracles, chapter 13, The Guiltless World, The Fear of Redemption. And for those of us who are joining, who perhaps maybe you know, didn't listen or weren't here yesterday, we basically got to this space and I put up a quote from Marianne Williamson, who's also a teacher of the Course in Miracles. And it's this idea that we're more afraid of our light and our love than our darkness. Really, that's the essence of it. We're more afraid of our light and our love than the darkness. So it says here, I'm reading Fear of Redemption, paragraph 3. In honesty, is it not harder for you to say, I love, than I hate? You associate love with weakness and hatred with strength, and your own real power seems to you as your real weakness. So I feel like it's really appropriate because right now, it's hard for people to say thank you to the coronavirus or, you know, thank you for its coming. No, people are, you know, I hate this. we have to like come together, whether it's just, you know, mild levels or whatever level. So it's because there is that sense that that is our strength. You know, we're going to come around this, like waging a war against it, you know, waging a war against it. So it is in some ways easier and it feels more logical. And I know many of us know and may have experienced in certain circles that we move in, social circles, we might be not feel comfortable to even express, you know, this idea of thank you. And yet that video that I showed you, thank you, coronavirus, I went on, I think the person who wrote it, there was like several hundreds of thousands of people who have viewed it, you know? So there is a call for that message, you know? So it is there. Yet we can know that the ego, it's harder. It's hard for the ego to bring its defenses down. And hatred is a defense. It's a defense against love. And we feel that it has strength. Okay, so let's see here. For you could not control your joyous response to the call of love if you heard it, and the whole world you thought you made would vanish. Because remember, in the separation, we've learned that the mind that knew that beautiful state of oneness had this thought of separation, believed it, and then there was all this fear and anger and guilt and hiding and shame, all of that. And it's like a glass breaking. It's all just splintered. And so it's like this, you know, big bang and a metaphysical big bang, and underneath it, like the circle of fear that's underneath it, the circle of fear. The Holy Spirit then seems to be attacking your fortress, for you would shut out God and he does not will to be excluded. So what if the coronavirus is like this? What if the coronavirus is like this knock? It's like knocking and it's saying, wake up. Please wake up. I'm here to wake you up. Please listen. Please listen. You're suffering. You don't, there's a way out of this suffering. I can show you the way. Allow me to show you the way. And imagine, it's like when I was going through my own experience with chronic pain, and some of you have read my book, Physician Heal Thyself. I know when I kept resisting the pain and kept trying to fix it and feeling like I had to do something and I was somehow failing because the pain wasn't leaving, something was wrong. All the different methods I tried, alternative, you know, working with my physician, you name it, you know, it just seemed to get louder. In fact, it got worse. You know, it didn't get better. I would get a little relief and then it would be up again. And when I made peace with it, right? Blessed are the peacemakers. I made peace with it. You know, like Rumi's beautiful poem, The Guest House, whatever has entered, treat it honorably. We don't know what it's here to teach us, but it's here. So we have that. We have these wise teachers, right, that are speaking to us. And when I made peace with it and I said, okay, I have no control over this. I don't. And then I also had other awareness. The source of healing must be within my mind. It's not in the body. Because if it were in the body, everything that the surgeons, the doctors, it would have gotten better. You know, so obviously something else is here. And that was like the other turning point. So the defenses, you know, the fortress were coming down. And now the pain became this messenger from beyond. And so I would do whatever I needed to do to be comfortable, but at the same time, do a lot of self-inquiry, inner mind searching, you know, using all the tools I had to really like say, okay. And I remember those were beautiful days. You know, I have a memory of them because I was very inward. I wasn't worried about what it was going to do or not going to do, staying in touch with the doctors, not pushing anything away, you know, but at the same time, like, let's go in. And yesterday night before I was going to bed, I was feeling that way. You know, the coronavirus is here. Okay, it's here. It's here. We don't know how it's going to all, we really don't know. But Spirit was saying, you know, just stay here with me. Let's do this work together. You know, I'm here with you. Let's just do this. And it's like, don't put your energy out there. You know, you don't have to go out there. And it was so comforting. It was so comforting. It was almost like I felt like I was in this dream where like I got the secret that it's just this thing. Don't make it too big. It is what it is. But you know, you just come inside. Like, okay, the storm is going on. Let it go on. But you've got a safe shelter. And isn't that what people are talking about? Shelter in place, right? Shelter in place. So it's so perfect, the words that are even coming out that help us know, you know, shelter in place. So I thought, yeah, that was perfect. Okay, so he does not will to be excluded. So even the coronavirus doesn't have to be excluded. You know, we can bring it in to the space of healing. You have built your whole insane belief system because you think you would be helpless in God's presence and you would save yourself from his love because you think it would crush you into nothingness. And that's exactly what our friend Joe was talking about, the onion, peeling the layers, and at the end, like, what if nothing is there? What if I keep peeling and peeling and peeling and nothing is there? But guess what? The love is there. The peace is there. Right? The love is there. The peace is there. And it's the peace, like when I look at the background of Mary Straub, that beautiful, like when you see the pictures from the astronaut, that peace, that stillness, it's pristine. You know, there's nothing disturbs it. Like you don't even want to talk because it's like, even that would disturb that silence. You know, it's so sacred. And our friend Tim, last time when he was here, he talked about this silence that's underneath the words, underneath the doing, the silence that's calling us in. And we're afraid of it. We're afraid of it. You are afraid it would sweep you away from yourself and make you little, because you believe that magnitude lies in defiance and that attack is grandeur. You think you have made a you think you have made a world God would destroy, and by loving him, which you do, you would throw this world away, which you would. So let's go back here. So the ego mind in that point of separation manufactured a whole world, manufactured it. And its whole defense is grant this world reality. And all the tenets on which I've built the world. So those tenets are all the beliefs in lack, in scarcity, in victimhood, in suffering, right? In disease, in illness. This is the world we see with these eyes. Is not the it's not the word, and it's not the world that our love, this beloved presence, wants for us. But the ego mind wants it to be right. And oftentimes when we are in the throes of an upset, if you trace it down into the mind, usually you will come to a space where you will ask yourself, do I want to be right about this situation or do I want to be at peace? Do I want to be right do I want to be justified or do I want to make peace? What is a value to me? Right? What is of value? So that fear, the world we've made would be destroyed. Then we're like, well, what's going to happen? But it's like, you know, we're on the brink of finding that out, that it's going to be this world of love where the foundation is love. And we don't have to worry about even what it's going to look like because we want to make sure that our foundation is correct. Because if the foundation is correct, then the house will be strong. And yesterday, or maybe a day before, I talked about Eckhart Tolle talking about that place in the Bible where it says, where is the house that you're building? Where is the foundation? Is it solid or is it sand? You know, my dad's an engineer and I think he can relate to it. You have to make sure the foundation is strong, right? That's really, really important. So here we are together releasing old beliefs, old foundations. And the world is doing that with us. You know, schools are changing how they're teaching. My friend here was Barbara was sharing how physical therapy in Canada, they're going to make it so that they can do it through video, you know, and before that would never be allowed. You'd have to do it in person. So you see how so many things are adapting to this new world because they have to. And things that seemed like laws and rules are all being questioned. You know, how many school days do we need? How many hours of work are needed? Can you work from home and still, you know, do what's needed? So you see, so many things are being released. So we're releasing this old foundation that was built on egoic belief systems of lack. And the ego mind is afraid because even if there's been suffering, it's become accustomed to that suffering. But thankfully, the course teaches us that we do have a high tolerance for suffering, yet there is a limit. There is a limit. And usually, when we are in an upset, if we trace it down, we'll hopefully get to that point where we say, hey, this is not worth it. I don't want this. Even if I'm right about this, hey, this is disturbing my peace of mind. And no, it cannot be more valuable than my peace of mind. Once again, it's like the prodigal son saying, you know, no matter if my father keeps me as a servant, this will be better than what I'm experiencing. So it's kind of us saying, it doesn't matter how this will look, but I want to just turn my ship in the direction of peace. That's all I want. Okay. Therefore, you have, this is really powerful, you have used the world to cover your love. The world is a cover, a smoke screen to cover your love. And the deeper you go into the blackness of the ego's foundation, the closer you come to the love that is hidden there. And it is this that frightens you. You can accept insanity because you made it, but you cannot accept love because you did not. You would rather be a slave of the crucifixion than a son of God in redemption. So many times in our experience, we look at those images of Jesus and crucifixion and this idea of crucifixion. And we stop there, you know, we just stop there. But if we will remember that the message, the Beatitudes, and all blessed are the peace, and all that teaching came in the resurrection. In the resurrection, when really the teaching was so profound that it's time for you to find that within yourself. Do not depend on something external, right? Even this beautiful teacher in the form of Jesus, even that, do not depend on that. Find it inside. And in the course, it's really beautiful because Jesus is always teaching us that I'm like an elder brother. You know, don't put me in a space of awe. Don't make this separation from me. I'm just leading you along. I know the corners of your mind because those were the corners of my mind, and I've traveled it, and I'm the guide that can lead you out. So I feel like this is exactly where we're headed. This is where we're headed. Now, wouldn't it be beautiful if we all felt that this experience, which we do not want to minimize others' suffering and or say that, you know, put our head in the sand and say, oh no, it's all rosy and it's all beautiful. No, we acknowledge the pain and the suffering that's going on. We acknowledge it, we honor it, we bring it into the love and light and healing, and we ask for the healing. We do. We always do. I know we hold that intention, and I know each of you are holding that, and you know, many of you are helping others hold that. But what if we said this was the journey, the blackness of the ego? Like, think about the blackness of the ego, and aren't we seeing that right now? Like all the ways of lack, and you know, these really touching stories of, you know, there's not enough this, there's not enough that, and we don't know this and we don't know that. Like we're seeing that. Like, look at that. This is what's being exposed. And some people, you know, in the political sense are saying, well, we knew the healthcare system was failing, but no one was really listening to look at what needed to be done, you know? And so those discussions are happening. But we're saying that this is like the darkest moment of the night that's opening into the day. That's the purpose. And that could be really powerful when we are encountering that darkness, right? That's the purpose, to bring us to peace, to make peace, to make peace. And for me, just that term, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the peacemakers. I feel like I could sync with that, you know, for like the whole day and just continue to ask, like, okay, show me, what is peace here? What does that look like? How do I make peace with this? I see something, someone says something, I read something, it hurts. I feel whatever I feel. How do I make peace with this? Spirit, show me. So I feel like I want to stop here and let us all absorb that. And let's go in to a bit of an experience through a meditation, reflection, and let us see what answers we each receive. And then we will open it all up for a conversation. Okay. So just let yourself be comfortable and easy. If you need to stretch or adjust your posture, or if you feel like you'd like to lie down, whatever works for you. It's all good. Taking a nice deep breath, letting the chest, the lungs expand, the belly rise, feeling the prana that comes in, the energy with the breath, letting that travel down to your toes, up to your head. With the out breath, just release whatever seems heavy, whatever you feel like you just want to let go. Maybe there's some worry, some concern. Just for these moments together, just let it go. Let the breath relax, soften. And open your heart. Letting the breath of the Spirit breathe you. Knowing it has everything you need. And knows how to release everything you no longer need. Like a massive cleanup that's happening right within you. So we can come into an experience of peace. So I feel to express gratitude to this beloved presence that is so generous, so gentle, so kind, loving and patient, and so wise. And grateful for this experience, this teaching of blessed are the peacemakers. So allow yourself to bring to your mind anything that still remains that is in need of healing. Maybe you're seeking direction and guidance in general. Maybe there is a specific concern that still is weighing on your heart. Or a person. or maybe just the whole experience of this coronavirus. Let it just come to your awareness. Maybe it's even seated opposite you in your mind's eye. And we can ask Spirit, the beloved presence, to be here with us. And we can ask all the questions we need to ask. The beloved presence loves answering our questions. In fact, it's a wonderful way for us to learn. And we could ask, what does it mean to make peace with this? Can you show me? How do I do that? I want to learn. And listen. Let's all just listen. Sometimes we hear a word or a phrase, or we see an image, or we just feel a sense of comfort, maybe some emotions come up to be released. We simply allow this. There's nothing we have to do, nothing we have to fix in this moment, nowhere to go. In this moment, it is enough. This moment is all we have, and it is enough. Beloved presence, I let myself sink into your love, into your comfort. Like a little child snuggling in bed with its favorite teddy bear or favorite stuffed animal. Just adored, taken care of. Comforted. Letting go of all worry and planning and figuring and analyzing. We make peace with what is. And we are shown that it can be this beautiful, delicious experience of rest. We don't have to go out of this moment to worry about future moments. This moment, this presence will be in every future moment. Like our breath, it goes wherever we go. The presence of the beloved goes wherever we go. We can never be separate from the beloved because that is who we are. let yourself breathe in this presence. If there's any part of the body that seems to be asking for attention, let the presence go there. Or you might want to just bring your whole body into the presence. Or others that perhaps you have concern or anything for that is other than love, bring them all here. We are the peacemakers, and we are blessed because we know when we make peace with what is, we allow for healing, we open the doors to healing, to flow. And because our minds are connected, when we heal, we do not heal alone. Thank you, beloved presence, for showing us this way, for inviting us into this beautiful function. That we can give our whole day and all the days that are to be ahead to this one beautiful purpose. Each moment and each day, you will guide us. You will show us the way. We lean not onto our understanding, but your understanding, for you know the way. We become like little children, letting you lead the way. Father, Mother, beloved presence. Thank you. Thank you for showing us the way. Thank you for showing us this whole experience with the coronavirus is here to help us heal, to bring us into this profound experience of love. We give our willingness to enter this experience together, hand in hand, side by side. Namaste. Thank you to each one of you for joining me today. Thank you. So, if anyone would like to share, love to have a, yeah, Lauren.
So, this was really powerful for me, this meditation, probably more powerful than the last few days. I've struggled with mental illness for the last 10 years, and it's really put a huge damper on my career and my personal life, as well as my, like every area of my life. It's just hugely impacted in so many ways, and I know you had suggested like 3 or 4 days ago that I do the concept where I put on one page like my concepts, the concepts of love that I don't think are true and then that I need to let go of. So I did that yesterday. And I realized at the end of it that because after, and also after doing this meditation, that I have essentially disconnected my heart. You know how they always say, like, you can either let your pain make you cold or make you gentle. And I've always been of the idea that I've always wanted to make my pain let me stay gentle, and I've always thought that's what it did. But unknowingly, I've actually created an ice cube around my heart and completely detached myself just metaphysically from my, from that chakra and from that, that part of myself I can't even connect. And it's been creating a lot of depression and dissociation for me for months, and I wasn't even aware of it. So I guess like this meditation kind of showed me that a lot of the reason why is because I've been fighting that reality of not accepting my mental health for, I've always been one who wants control, and I'm a fixer, and I know why I have these issues. It's as a result of what happened to me when I was younger, and I never wanted it. A lot of it's genetic. I grew up very type A, and this has challenged me to become very, it's caused me to become not myself. You know, I'm not productive. I'm not anything like I used to be in high school or early college. And it's still like that, and it's a huge challenge to deal with a lot of what I've had to deal with over the last few years, not just from a career standpoint, but also from a judgmental standpoint, from an external view, but also internalizing that judgment of what I should be. And I think this was the first time I realized that a lot of the suffering was a result of me just, like you said, just fighting the reality and not accepting it. And this was the first time in years I've actually just accepted and let it be what it is, because I've been fighting having these issues for years. You know, just being in perpetual denial, like, yeah, I go to treatment and I'm compliant with my doctor. I'm a nurse. I'm kind of like you. Like, I know too much. You know, I know too much. And sometimes I try to be my own physician. And it's not good. And I guess my point in all of this is after I felt the peace go through a lot of the experiences that I have held on to for so many years that defined a lot of my reality, I kind of want to rewrite my story, you know? Like, instead of saying, you know, girl struggled through nursing school, barely made it through, but graduated despite, you know, teachers telling her she wasn't going to make it, but she did anyway. And then she got her first dream job, but had to quit after 3 months because of panic attacks and anxiety, and failed at her dream job. I want to rewrite that story in a different way. Like, I feel like I have a clean slate now, if that makes sense. Like, I want to find the hope in the story and create a new perspective. I don't want to just see the negative. Like, I want to find the hope in the story. I'm just tired of focusing so much on the freaking negative and trauma and shit in my life. It's just, I want to start finding the good in what has happened and the meaning behind everything, because like you said, there's some message behind what we experience. I mean, and I'm a huge believer that I'm one of the people that's supposed to break some of the generational crap in my family. So I think that's also why I'm, just given the circumstances and what I've gone through, I think I'm one of the people that's supposed to do that. So that's also why I take this seriously. So that's also why I want to do it too, to kind of find the message in it too. But I really just, I'm also curious to find out in the next few days how to slowly reconnect and melt that heart ice cube, because that just shocked the hell out of me yesterday. I just couldn't believe it. I'm like, that is crazy. I'm like, this explains so much. Like, I couldn't believe it. Like, I was just like, I've literally isolated myself and disconnected myself from feeling love, accepting love. I was in a 6-month relationship with somebody. I didn't even let them in. It was crazy. I mean, it's insane. And Barbara, I have to say, you look like you're glowing today. I don't know. You just look like you're glowing. I just had to say that. You look beautiful today. That's all I had to say. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Lauren. Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, I feel this chrysalis is that opportunity for us to, we don't know what the insights are going to be in this space. And it's really beautiful to, as you're doing, you know, as you're journaling, showing up, being present, doing whatever you need to do to let yourself. I also feel when we go through our own pain and our own suffering and our own, you know, whatever it looks like, it's almost like it cracks something open in the persona of like what is a healer, and it invites us into a deeper understanding of healing. So, you know, whatever your experiences were are all going to be used by spirit. And if you can see it that way, which I believe you're opening, that's what you're expressing, that it has a purpose. And it's like, again, the ego's purpose is always judgment and belittling and shame and guilt. But the ego is like, but the spirit is like, give it to me and let me show you. And then that space of being shown, there's that chrysalis space of like silence and waiting, you know, just waiting, like asking the question. And as I shared, like, why questions are not helpful. Like, why did this happen? Why is it happening? And why is it happening to me? Why is it happening to her? Why, you know, those are like the ego's version of questions, which really don't want an answer. But how can I learn from this? What is here for me to listen to? How can I get the help I need? What would that, you know, you see, those are very, very fruitful, and the spirit loves answering. It's a beautiful way to engage, I find, is putting out a really specific question, but in a form that invites an answer. Yeah, you know, the defenses are down and the I don't know. So many times when people work with me and they're like, I don't know, I don't know. I said, wonderful, let's celebrate. Wonderful, that's great. You know, hooray, that's hooray. That's beautiful. We don't know, wonderful. So then now, you know, the defenses are down and learning can really happen. You know, learning can really happen. So thank you for your beautiful example. Thank you. And your sharing and your willingness. Thank you. So we have someone. I just wanted to welcome Shirley. Just thank you for coming.
Thank you, Seema. I figured out how to unmute because I did respond in the beginning and realized I was on mute. I was invited to come to this group by my friend Susan, and I've enjoyed it very much. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing. Welcome. Okay, I'm just going to mute you again so we can just hear others. Yeah, Lauren says, welcome, Shirley. She's on in the chat. Some of you might know, some of you are familiar, there's a chat menu, so you can kind of like send messages to each other on the chat box as well. Okay. So anyone else? Yeah, Mary, thank you, Mary. I was hoping you were going to share because you sent me that email and that was beautiful. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Wow. I was kind of standing back and like, I'm going to share when it's time to share. But I wanted to allow it to be inspired. And so when no one else was coming forward, it's like, okay, it's time to speak because I don't even know how to put into words what's coming now or what I'm feeling and what, is happening with me. But oh my goodness. It's like the light is finally peeking through that ring of fear. And I'm starting to get what all of this contrast that's been coming has been showing me. And that line in the course, there were two of them that you just read. And I'm gonna paraphrase a little bit, so forgive me if I'm off. But one of them was, your tolerance for pain, was that it? Your tolerance for pain is high, but not without limit. And I just got this hit. It's like, oh my gosh, I've hit my limit. We've hit our limit. We collectively have hit our limit because we're all joined in this, and all this fear is coming up and there's, and all this resistance to fear. And so I also got, that, my daughter especially showed me that, you know, what was that for? What I got to look at that. And I realized that she was showing me where, I'm still needing the external to look peaceful before I could be at peace. It's like, why are my kids doing this to me? Why are, you know, my friend, you know, why are people doing this to me? And I know they're not because I'm a course student, you know, but I'm looking at why am I still feeling attacked? And there's so much, feels like so much anger coming at me. And oh, it's so beautiful because I got the message, the message, and here's the next thing that came to me just now, that definition of peacemaker. Thank you for that. A peacemaker, and I just, it's like a whole new definition, a peacemaker, one who makes peace with what is, one who makes, and until I can make peace with what is, I have no peace to give. I can't make peace in anybody when I don't have it within. And I know that, but I know that. I mean, it's like I believed it, but it's like, okay, the knowing is opening up and that's the light that's coming in. And there was one more thing that came up that I'm getting on a whole new level. And that was the line you read. Okay, you're more afraid of the crucifixion because you made it than of the redemption, which you didn't. And I'm like, okay, I never really knew what that meant. I knew that there was a real powerful message in that, but I'm really getting it. The you that Jesus is speaking of is the ego. The ego made the crucifixion. The ego made all of this world. The ego, it's all in my head that I'm perceiving it as fearful. And the who I really am, whose spirit, you know, the spirit, which is also in me, in my mind, that the divine mind that can never be threatened, didn't make the redemption. But that's what I think. I want that. I want that. Even the little ego wants that. But I didn't make it. And I'm unwinding all that stuff that I didn't make, or that I made. And I have to look at it. I have to allow it. I have to let it bring me the gift. And that's the virus. The virus is the gift, because it's showing me in my mind all the pockets of fear, all the fear, the things, the parts of darkness. And so I saw this article this morning. It was like, okay, spirit, show me what I can make peace. You know, where, show me what I, anyway, it's just what bring it to me. And it was this article, this headline popped out at me that said, China prepares for the second wave of the virus, or a virus effects or something. And I went, oh my gosh, there's a second wave. So they're almost through it and there's a second wave. But as I read it, as I started reading it, it was the economic wave.
Hmm.
It was the economic wave. There, people are going back to work. They're healing. They're coming back, and there's no normal now, because nobody's buying. It's like nobody's buying. So their businesses aren't working, even though they can go to work. There's no safety in that. So it's like, there's a limit to all of the worldly, you know, there's no normal now. It's got to be recreated. And it's like, okay, there's that, oh gosh, you know, what are we going to go back to? Is there any going back? And there's the beauty of it is, no, there's no going back, because there never was anything in the first place. It's like, that was not never safe. There is no safety out there. There is no safety. There is no safety anywhere in this world, but there is in my mind. But I have been afraid of it. And I just really thank you. And Joe, your description yesterday, it's like, that was so powerful, because the onion is coming, is really pulling. I'm really, you know, taking away the layers of this onion. It's like, oh, I, you know, how, what's underneath the onion? And that's like you said, the ring of fear. And yeah, I've been afraid of it. And so I'm feeling very, I'm feeling the light. I'm feeling some light. I'm feeling a letting go of the outer fear and breaking through into, you know, I've been imprisoned by my mind that still needs the external to be okay, to be joyful. My kids have got to get over this fear. No, they don't. It's like, can I make peace with them not being at peace? Well, I couldn't. And that was what was so hard and so frustrating. It's like, I can't be at peace with them. And I'm mad at them for bringing their unpeace to me. And it wasn't them at all. It was my mind. So this is, you know, Jeff Wilbur put out a short video where he said, this is a virus of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like, yeah, I know, but yeah, we know all that, you know, but now we get to really, I'm getting to really know it. It's like, I believed it, but I'm getting the opportunity to know it. And so I can't, it's still, once again, I can't thank you enough for this, Seema. And you know, you're asked to come out of retirement as a doctor. I'm like, I agree with whoever it was that said that yesterday. You are healing here. This is, it's like, you're needed here. And spirit knows that. It's not, you know, fixing outer bodies is not where your mission is. You are the doctor of inner peace now. You are, and I thank you for that, because the inner peace is what, you know, some of us, that's where our healing, what we're trying to get to, that is the healing. So thank you for that. And all of you for the gifts of sharing what you're experiencing, so I can look at whatever comes up for me that still brings a fear, some kind of, something's wrong and I need to fix it, and then I can forgive it and let it go. Oh, so helpful. Yeah. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Mary. So, I'm not sure. Tim, I just wanted to go to you because I thought you might have to leave early. I don't know if you wanted to say anything. I just wanted to.
Thank you very much, Seema. I just the last few minutes, I made the decision not to go to this other commitment opportunity, really opportunity, but to stay with this. I guess, just as we're talking, I will say that I'm also deeply grateful for this, in enormous ways on many, many levels. I also have to own a little bit of my experience here. And as they say in Landmark, this thing kind of cleaned it up. When the last time I was here, not yesterday, but the day before, when I shared, I was aware of bringing some, what I hadn't been aware of, but some heaviness within me. I was really upset by that following day, and into the night. And so I journaled and I really asked for greater awareness of what I say, of how I say it, and why I say it. So just that notion of being more in touch with what do I want to create here? What do I want to raise as a possibility? So just in as much as I want to simply acknowledge the fact that I carried that and shared it. I just want to own that and own the process of that, for whatever effect it might have had on that portion. You know, many other things. I'm just so moved by the sharing that's already taken place today, and the depth of it and the truth of it. I mean, kind of the humbling, vulnerable, powerful truth of it. I just say one other thing. For me, my background is as a community organizer and a climate activist, and I'm very into kind of the culture of the new consciousness or global consciousness. And very much feel this as a transition point, as an initiation, as an opportunity for a whole new way of being and doing, a whole new way of living on Earth. I mean, this is just enormous to me. But there was one thing you said, Seema, about not moving out of it too quickly. Like this is a big deal. And the chrysalis image not moving prematurely, because it really is the opening for transformation in human consciousness and in how we live practically and existentially and economically. So I was just, so my thing in terms of organizing is okay, here's a federal policy solution on mitigation for carbon, you know, fossil fuels. Mm-hmm. Here are 17 solutions we can do locally, et cetera. Well, you know, that really is wonderful and it's all well and good and it's important and will be. But the deeper thing is what we're doing here and opening and quieting and receiving and sharing and loving. So I'm just enormously grateful. And you know, I'm sorry that I missed yesterday, but I really will aim to attend and participate in as many, you know, the remaining sessions as possible. I'm just enormously grateful for you. And I want to also go with, I mean, you know, Mary was just sharing something and Hazel shared something the other day that I can relate to as a parent and as a grandparent. But anyway, I just want to say what Mary said about you know, you're receiving the call to go back to your role as a medical physician. And you are a metaphysician at this point. Mm-hmm. You're a metaphysician. And that's all I'll say, but I'm just deeply, deeply grateful.
Yeah. Thank you, Tim. And I also just want to express that we are really here, as you said, to love and support, but this is also a safe space for us to bring in whatever we are feeling, mm-hmm. heavy in between. Otherwise, it's really all welcome. It's all welcome. And so yesterday's session is one where I actually shared what was heavy for me. And then others commented how they were feeling it too. And we were really given this experience of it's one mind, another witness to the one mind. It's not, you know, heaviness in the body of Seema or heaviness in the body of Tim. And those are I believe that is what this is here to heal. Like even those false separation, like one of my friends was saying, you know, look at this virus, it has no boundaries, it's everywhere. Right, it's everywhere. Well, what about love? Why can't love have no boundaries? Why do we even need boundaries? So I feel like really I know you're such a, you know, we've had such beautiful deep conversations and we're really fellow mighty companions on this path. That's how I see you and I see everyone here. So really this is a safe haven, a safe, sacred space where we welcome whatever seems to be peace that we want to share and all the obstacles to peace that are coming up. Because that, if you're talking about metaphysician, it's a transformation process, right? So you bring in whatever you had, you know, the alchemist brings in the lead and there's gold on the other end. Mm-hmm. And there's something, the alchemy of the love and the sharing and the joining. So really, we welcome you wherever you are, mm-hmm. wherever you are. We welcome you and we honor that. And we thank you for, you know, the willingness to share that.
I'll just say this. I so appreciate that. And what I'm aware of consistently with you is that you so embody, you so walk your talk, you so embody this transparency and this honesty and this candor about whether it's chronic pain or vulnerability or heaviness or whatever. You set that space. You open permission. You create this openness in terms of our full humanity. That's such a profound gift. And what it does is simply release it, you know, generatively, creatively, openly, you know, for all of us. It's just and so modeling, so again, embodying and sharing the truest, most intimate kind of vulnerabilities and releasing. I mean, it's just such a great gift that we give to each other. And we're seen as, you know, all of us on this call, we're seen across the culture, and I think around the world, this opening that is occurring, this opportunity to turn inward to open our hearts to ourselves, to each other, and to the planet, to nature. So once again, just a deep, deep thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I just want to turn a minute because there's been a lot of stuff happening in the chat here. So let me just kind of, so Shirley, I'm just going to read. Thank you, Lauren, for your sharing. I'm a mental health nurse and 69 years old, and my many years of struggle with anxiety and depression has made me a much better nurse. The more I could accept myself and have self-compassion, the more I had compassion for the clients I work with. again, thank you for so bravely sharing. So I just wanted to express that. Thank you, Shirley. She was asking, so I was reading chapter 13 in the Course in Miracles, section 3, the fear of redemption. And I'll put a link in the blog when I write it. I will put the link in. And Siska is my friend in Philippines. And I think her audio stuff may not be working. Siska, she was the force that really brought my book, Physician Heal Thyself. She was the book wizard, the publishing wizard that joined with me through hundreds and I don't know, so many Zoom calls where we got this whole book ready. So she's saying she read this today from a Swiss Jungian therapist. I know it's Carl Jung, but Jungian therapist, Von Franz, he wrote, rather than ask why something happened, i.e. what caused it, Jung asked, what did it happen for? The same tendency appears in physics. Many modern physicists are now looking more for connections in nature than for causal laws. That's very powerful, right? So thank you, Siska, for that. Yeah. Let's see here. Okay, so here's Siska. She's saying, I'm not as good with words as the rest of you, and I don't think my mic works, but want to share, though, hope you can accept that I shared by, okay. Yeah, this is beautiful. So she actually shared this with me yesterday in response to the sharing I did yesterday with what was coming on for me. By exposing our grief, fear, and anxiety to others, we are allowing it to commingle with new viewpoints, inducing change rather than remaining in stasis. Vicariously, we are also offering a validation towards what is hidden in the other that they may brave it into view. In the many circles I've attended, it is only when one of us is brave enough to share a personal story that others begin to open up as well. If you are doing your part to brave the beautiful values that are coursing through you into the world, then all that's left for you to do is to notice who notices. Don't dismiss the invitational presence in others. Keep these ones close by noticing their gifts in return. Practice at opening the heart, yours and theirs, through fierce inquiry and the expression of truth. Toko Pa. So this is beautiful, and I'll cut and paste it, and I'll try to share it with us. Tim, actually, that's the essence of kind of what you were sharing, right? That gives safety for everyone. Okay, so I just wanted to put that out there because I was looking. I'm like, wow, there's all this activity going on. Let me take a look. All right. And, you know, I also would encourage if you feel called, someone shares something and it just really reach out and do a one-on-one Zoom session with each other, you know? Like you just never know where that's going to go and what it's going to be used for. And it's just such a beautiful way to know, like, I love the connections with all the different friends that I have all over the world now through this. Because when something comes up about their country, I don't think about the country, I think about my friend. I'm like, oh, I wonder what's up with her or him. And for me, that just immediately brings it into a place where I can, you know, I'm not the outer activist. I mean, Tim and I have had these, conversations, but I feel like that inner alchemy, it draws me when it becomes like this, you know, one human being going, yeah, I can join with that, you know, whereas if it's this huge thing, the ego keeps it very anonymous and it's overwhelming. Like, what can I do with that? And, you know, it's, and so I feel like, I just want to put it out there. If you're feeling that, then, you know, it would be beautiful to, you can connect with me and I can try to connect or hook you guys up, whatever, because I feel like we're really here to be, you know, hand in hand. I keep getting this message from Spirit. This is for you to be hand in hand, you know, bringing those, all of our vulnerability, our sharing, the lessons we've learned to each other and like shepherding each other through this. Okay. Yeah. So we still have time. Hey, Chris, yeah.
Hi. I'm feeling grateful and a little lost. Thank you, everybody who shared. It was helpful for me, all of it. All of it that I could stay with. it's interesting what we each get triggered by. You know, it's not always the same things. You know, being stuck alone in my apartment isn't, you know, and not having a job, and, you know, I'm kind of used to that. So that's not a big trigger, whereas some people, you know, it may be. But what's coming up for me is, and it really hit during just the beginning of your meditation for me. So I wasn't with that at all. I'm going to have to, if I have a chance, I'm going to have to listen to it later. But I was just, they're new neighbors that have moved in downstairs, and I don't have a vehicle. It was rear-ended right before all this happened, and my car was totaled, and we didn't have the opportunity to try to find a new car, or, you know, the DMV's closed, and I finally got paid a couple days ago from the insurance company, very, very little money. But that's probably what my car was worth at that point. But anyway, my mind is running, and I know I'm spitting that out, and I hope I'm not distracting anybody from their peace, but I guess it's all good and it's all what needs to be shared. But, I'm trying to maintain my stream, my thoughts. I just noticed the new neighbors started blaring the music when the meditation started, and singing along. And while I'm glad they're happy and having fun, it stopped now. I think the CD ended, but it was a really heavy thumping sound. And that just, whoa, got right out of it. And a strong smell of pot in the apartment. Being really sensitive to smoke, that triggers me far more than some of what, you know, than is being triggered by, I don't mean other people on here, but just the general population. So just having a lot of panic come up about being trapped. That's a big one for me. Being trapped and not having control over my environment. And I guess that's essentially what we're all going through. It just manifests differently for each of us. And obviously all of this was created right now in this for a reason. And I have this to work with. And, you know, it's, and I've also noticed how there's so many opportunities suddenly for a Zoom connection and, you know, other platforms online, and which is wonderful, but I'm noticing I'm trying to fit them all in. And so my dishes are now going, you know, are getting behind, and other ways that I'm not taking care of myself the way I really need to be in order to try to fit all this in. And I'm realizing there's a retreat that I had signed up for this weekend, and it's not going to be the best thing for me to do, at least not under the guidelines that have been given. So I'm, you know, to learn how to balance in a new way now. But thank you, everybody. And it's nice, really nice to have this opportunity to share and to listen and learn and heal. Blessings. Blessings, Seema. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Yeah. I do feel we're being given our assignments. You know, it's not a coincidence if we're in lockdown with a certain person or a certain family member or a certain situation. No coincidences. It's time to look at those areas that are up for healing. And just having that awareness is very powerful. And I agree with you. It can still be very tempting. Even things that are, you know, retreats and, right, like they're very useful, it can be very tempting to be like, okay, now I'll just fill my day with that, you know, like before my day was filled with this, now I'm just going to fill it with that. So it takes discernment. It takes discernment. There was someone, I think there was a retreat, someone that was inviting something, and I know it was going to be wonderful. And I just felt, and I'm like, yeah, do I want to do that? I'm like, no, I think I just want to be with my son. And I think I just want joining with him. You know, I want that time with him. So I agree with you. It's beautiful because, you know, things are going to come our way. Things will come our way. And they're coming quicker. They're actually coming more quickly. So whereas, you know, you finish and then something else come, finish something else. And I feel like it's like that mind training is being asked, you know, more, let's go more. And I feel doing housework and cleaning, sometimes you're drawn to do that sometimes because it's like there's an inner cleaning and there's an outer cleaning. And one of my friends, Kirsten, she posted a video about, you know, if you're locked down and you're not going anywhere, then go through stuff and really clear because your outer environment reflects your inner environment. Just, you know, there's a connection. And sometimes, like, you know, for me, just like doing the dishes and cooking and doing something, like if I don't do that, I feel like I get too in my head. You know, it's too many concepts and too many, you know, like I've got to like breathe. I've got to slow down. So yeah, I think you're sharing challenges that we're all learning to negotiate. And I think Lauren actually put in a message here about smoke weed triggers me too. When the neighbors in my apartment 3 years ago used to do it a lot, triggered me like crazy. Barbara is saying, thank you for sharing. So, you know, we're joined with you. You're not alone. And you cannot, if someone, we have to learn this, right? Someone cannot take our peace from us. Someone cannot take our peace from us. Someone can trigger us out of peace, but then it's always that journey of I'm responsible for the state of mind. I'm responsible for, you know, finding my way to peace and asking for help, right? We don't have to do it alone. So we're always welcome. You know, let's be triggered here. We can resolve it here. It's all okay. If we can't resolve it here, then we got to look at that. We have to look at that also. And spirit will help us. I always trust that. Nothing is too big. Nothing is too small. So thank you. And let's see, where are we? Okay, we have like maybe a minute. I don't know, my friend Emil, let me see if he's just going to check in. Emil, would you like to say anything?
Yes, I would just like to say one thing.
Okay.
People are not afraid of death. People are afraid of life. Because I found that people are always afraid of different things in life, and that's where it builds up our fear. So I've read that, and I honestly believe in that quote, that people are not afraid of death, but they are afraid of living, because living takes a lot more work. Death just ends, and then we have our spiritual life. But living takes a lot of work. And to have the peace that you were talking about at the start of the session takes a lot of work, because we are so conditioned to life the way it is. And in order to bring peace to our life, because we're always trying to control what's happening in the future, and we're always trying to control what's happening in the future by the experiences that we've had in the past. So therefore, that makes it very difficult for us to have a peaceful life. And that's all I wanted to say. Thank you for asking me, and thank you for listening to all of the people that have contributed. And thank you for having these sessions.
Welcome. Thank you, Emil. Thank you.
Okay.
So yeah, we're at time. So I'm just gonna unmute us all here. Yeah. Hey. So thank you. See you all tomorrow.
Thank you.
Namaste.
Bye everyone.
Namaste.
See you tomorrow.
Bye
now.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you, Mary. Your share was helpful.
Oh, thank you. Love you.
Thank you all.